Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 66, Paundrika, the False Vasudeva, Text 32-38. So you can chant along with me for the first verses, and then we'll do responsively the last one, which has a short purport.
Tatognir-uttita-kundan-murti-manati-bhishanah Tapta tamra shikasma shrut angaro gari lochana dangsto grabhru bhuti danda katora shayaswadaya aliyan nagno vidunvangsti shikam dvalat.
Thereupon the fire rose up out of the altar pit, assuming the form of an extremely fearsome naked person. The fiery creature's beard and tuft of hair were like molten copper, and his eyes emitted blazing hot cinders. His face looked most frightful, with its fangs and terrible arched and furrowed brows. As he licked the corners of his mouth with his tongue, the demon shook his flaming trident.
Padbhyam tala pramanabhyam kampayan avanitalam sobhya dhava vrito bhute dvarakam pradaham vishah.
On legs as tall as palm trees, the monster raced toward Dwarka in the company of ghostly spirits, shaking the ground and burning the world in all directions.
Tamabhichara dahanam ayantam dvarakaukasaha vilokya tatra su sarve vanadahi mrigayata.
Seeing the approach of the fiery demon created by the Abhichara ritual, the residents of Dwarka were all struck with fear, like animals terrified by a forest fire.
Akshay sabhayam kridantam bhagavantam bhayatura trahi trahi tilokesha vane padahata puram.
Distraught with fear, the people cried out to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was then playing at dice in the royal court. Save us, O Lord of the three worlds, from this fire burning up the city.
Shrutva tas jana vaiklavyam drishtva svanam cha sadvasam sharanya samprahasyaha mabhashetya vitam.
When the Lord heard the people's agitation and saw that even his own men were disturbed, that most worthy giver of shelter simply laughed and told them, "Do not fear, I shall protect you." Now the word meanings for the next one. Sarvasya, everyone, antaha, within, bahi, and without. Sakshi, the witness. Krityam, the manufactured creature. Maha Ishwar. Maha? I think that should be Maha, not Maha. Anyway, here it is. Maheshwaram. Maha Ishwaram, of Lord Shiva, Vibhu. The Almighty Supreme Lord, Vijaya, fully understanding, Tat, Him, Vighata, of defeating, Artham, for the purpose, Parshva, at His side, Stum, standing, Chakram, His disc, Adishat, He ordered.
Sarvasyantar Bahi Sakshi, Vidyam Maheshwarim Vibhu. Jaya Tad Vighatartam. Parshvastam Chakram Adishat. Sarvasyantar Bahisakshi. Vidyam Maheshwarim Vibhu. Jaya Tad Vighatartam. Parshvastam Chakram Adishat. Sarvasyantar Bahisakshi. Krityam Maheshwarim Vibhu. Vidyaya Tad Vighatartam. Parshvastam Chakram Adishat. Sarvasyantar Bahisakshi. Krityam Maheshwarim Vibhu. Vijnaya Tad Vijyathartam. Parshvastam Chakram Adishat. Sarvasyantar Bahisakshi. Krityam Maheshwarim Vibhu. Vijnaya Tad Vijyathartam. Parshvastam Chakram Adishat. Sarvasyantar Bahisakshi. Krityam Maheshwarim Vibhu. Vijnaya Tad Vighatartam. Parshvastam Chakram Adishat.
Ladies.
Sarvasyantar Bahisakshi. Krityam Maheshwarim Vibhu. Vijnaya Tad Vighatartam.
Translation. The Almighty Lord, the internal and external witness of all, understood that the monster had been produced by Lord Shiva from the sacrificial fire. To defeat the demon, Krishna dispatched his disc weapon, who was waiting at his side. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments that Lord Krishna, playing the part of a king, was absorbed in a gambling match and did not want to be disturbed by such an insignificant matter as the attack of a fiery demon. So he simply dispatched his chakra weapon and ordered him to take the necessary steps. This is the beginning of an episode involving Sudarshan. I have some different things to read about it. First, I want to mention this pastime of Sudakshina. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Advaita Acharya. You know how Advaita Acharya, he never wanted to be. Lord Chaitanya took the subordinate position to Advaita Acharya, and Advaita Acharya didn't like that very much. He wanted to be his servant. That's his role. So he, at one point, he got the opportunity. He was spouting impersonalist philosophy, And Lord Chaitanya became very angry and started beating him on the back. So Advaita Acharya was in ecstasy about that. So in the context of that, then Lord Chaitanya felt he wasn't happy that he had done that, basically. Although Advaita Acharya was in ecstasy. So, actually it's not this one. Advaita Acharya, he explains how what the Lord was doing was correct, and he explains something about his own position. He says here, as one who does not worship your lotus feet, he's talking to Lord Chaitanya. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. I'm sorry. Yes, this is Advaita Acharya speaking. One who does not worship your lotus feet and accept you as the Supreme Lord is not dear to me. Anyone who worships you is my life and soul. I cannot tolerate a person who disregards you. Now, actually, in the context of this discussion, we hear something about how Advaita Acharya had six sons, and three of them were bad, so he basically just rejected them. I cannot look at the face of a Vaishnava Parādhi, even if he happens to be my servant or son. If one transgresses you and worships millions of demigods, those demigods will kill him on some pretext. These are not simply my words. They are the words of the Vedas. The killing of Sudakshina is evidence of this. So in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains how we can refer to incidents that are described in the Vedas to support our philosophical points. So there's a little description here of this pastime in the context of this discussion. They say Advaita Acharya is saying, I'm not on your level, so if somebody worships me, they're going to be in trouble. They need to worship you. He's talking to Lord Chaitanya. Then he says an example of this is Sudakshina. He was in the beginning of this chapter in the summary. He's described as a Shaivite king, Sudakshina. So he was worshiping Lord Shiva, and then look what happened to him ultimately. So there's a, in the Advaita Acharya is speaking here. Sudakshina was the son of the king of Kashi. He worshiped Lord Shiva with full attention. In great satisfaction, Shiva told him, ask for a benediction. You will achieve your goal by performing the Abhichara Yajna. But if you insult a devotee of Vishnu, I will kill you in the course of your sacrifice. This is Lord Shiva saying that. Without understanding the true intentions of Shiva's words, Sudakshina performed the Abhichara Yajna on the order of Shiva. A formidable demon with three hands, three legs, and three heads appeared from the sacrificial fire. That demon with legs as long as palm trees said, ask for a benediction. The king replied, O fortunate one, burn Dwaraka to ashes. On hearing this order, the great demon, who was the creation of Shiva, became distressed. He realized that the king's desire could not be fulfilled. Now, we're going to be reading about this in the Bhagavatam, but there's some details here that aren't there. The demon was obliged to go to Dwaraka, yet as soon as he arrived there, he was chased by Sudarshan, the protector of Dwaraka. We just heard how Krishna sent Sudarshan. Thinking that he would not be spared by Sudarshan if he tried to run away, the great creation of Shiva fell at Sudarshan's feet and spoke as follows. Durvasa was unable to escape from you, and Brahma and Shiva were unable to protect him. So this is the demon offering his prayers to Sudarshan. Therefore, Prabhu, how can I escape from you, who are endowed with the power of a great Vaishnava? All glories to my master, who is named Sudarshan. You are as powerful as Lord Shiva. All glories to the abode of Lord Krishna. All glories to Sudarshan Chakra, the best of the Vaishnavas. All glories to the destroyer of the miscreants and the protector of the pious. Sudarshan heard his prayer with satisfaction and then instructed him to burn up the king's son. And now we'll hear about that later. He goes back to Kashi and burns up the place. So that's one thing from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now there's another episode that comes later in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Lord Chaitanya is traveling with his devotees, and they're on a boat, and Lord Chaitanya starts singing, having kirtan, dancing in ecstasy, and rocking the boat, and the boatman becomes afraid. For one thing, he doesn't like all the attention being drawn to them, because there are a lot of Muslims in the area. And actually, I think it's in one of these purports here where it's described that, or maybe Prabhupada, I was reading something Prabhupada said. He compared the situation in Bengal at that time in Orissa, because the Muslims were in charge, he compared it to modern-day Pakistan. It's kind of like living as a Hindu in Pakistan today, living as a Hindu during that time. You know, like Chan Kazi in that whole episode there. That's what the situation was like. The devotees were afraid to have kirtan. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, he said, I don't care. I'll kill all the demons and all these muchas. We'll have kirtan, big kirtan tonight. But that was, they were afraid. They were persecuted at that time. So anyway, so the boatman is afraid because Lord Chaitanya is dancing in ecstasy on the boat. The boatman said, I am in doubt. I think we will not survive the day. If we reach the shore, the tigers will attack us. And if we fall in the water, the crocodiles will eat us. Rogues constantly move about these waters. If they catch anyone, they take both his wealth and life. Therefore, O Gosais, until we reach Orissa, please remain silent. Don't have kirtan here out in the middle of the river. When they heard the boatman's words, they became somewhat hesitant. The Lord, however, continually floated in the waters of ecstatic love. After a while, the Lord stood up and roared loudly. He said to everyone, why are you afraid? Can't you see the Sudarshan Chakra escorting us? It always removes the obstacles faced by Vaishnavas. Do not worry. Chant the glories of Krishna. Don't you see Sudarshan guarding us? On hearing the Lord's words, all the devotees joyfully began to perform kirtan. Mahaprabhu used this situation to teach everyone, Sudarshan always protects the devotees. Any sinful person who attacks a Vaishnava is burnt to ashes by the fire of Sudarshan. When devotees have a protector like Vishnu's Sudarshan Chakra, who has the power to attack them? Then in the purport, as actually if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, you see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very opportunistic. When he gets the opportunity to elaborate on something, then he'll go page after page after page. And if Tilak is mentioned in the purport, for example, he'll have all these quotes from all these Vedas and Puranas. So here he has some quotes about Sudarshan in one of these purports. First, let's see. He mentions the Durvasa pastime, which I'll skip. So, but here's some from different places. This is from the Matsya Purana. Now, I don't know what this means exactly, or who this he is, but it says, he separated that effulgence and made the disc of Lord Vishnu as well as the trident of Rudra and the thunderbolt of Indra. So somebody in some pastime created these things from some effulgence. I don't know what the effulgence is. That disc is the annihilator of the Daityas and Danavas. It's composed of thousands of rays of light. In the Vamana Purana, it said, O Lord of Lords, greatest of all living beings, this best of weapons, Sudarshan, destroys all other weapons. It has 12 spokes and is non-different from the mind. The demigods, the months, the signs of the zodiac, and the six seasons are all present in Sudarshan to protect those who are well behaved. Established in Sudarshan are Agni, Soma, Mitra, Varuna, the Lord of Creatures, Indra, the Vishvadevas, the Prajapatis, the powerful Hanuman, Lord Dhanvantari, and the 12 great ascetics. The months beginning with Chaitra and ending with Palguna are also established in this, in him. Now one thing is, the chakra also represents time and destruction, so we can see the idea of different seasons and months of the year and so on. Let's see. Just a couple more here. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is stated, Lord Janardana... this is interesting, I thought. Lord Janardana is not content even after engaging Sudarshan to protect his devotees. So he personally goes to see and protect them. So first he sends Sudarshan for their protection, then he wants to make sure they're actually all right. But then he goes to follow up, make sure Sudarshan did his job. Thus, Krishna, this is from the same place, Narada Pancharatra. Thus Krishna deputed Sudarshan for the protection of his servant. But he, Krishna, did not feel comfortable or pleased because it was difficult for him to give up the association of his devotee. Here are some of the characteristics of Sudarshan. Now in the Bhagavatam, Sudarshan comes up repeatedly. The first place we see him is, of course, he's Krishna's favored weapon, his Sudarshan Chakra. We see him when Ashwatthama is trying to destroy Parikshit Maharaj in the womb of Uttara. So Krishna appears there and he has his chakra spinning. And that's how he counteracts the Brahmastra. The Brahmastra is considered to be a heat weapon, so it's so powerful. And it was threatening to burn up the embryo. But Sudarshan is hotter than the heat weapon of the Brahmastra, so it destroyed Brahmastra. And Sudarshan, in the list of persons who are present at the passing of Bhishma Dev, you know, all different sages are mentioned and so on. And Sudarshan is mentioned there. So apparently, he's there in his personal form. It's mentioned, I think this is in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that in Vaikuntha, or at least someplace in Vaikuntha, the Lord is sometimes attended by his four symbols, this club, lotus, and conch. So it's said there that they have personified forms, but they have the symbols on their foreheads of these different, you know, what they are. So here, anyway, at Bhishma's passing, Sudarshan is there in person. And Prabhupada explains something, as he does, about all the different personalities. He says, this wheel, which is accepted by the personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, as his personal weapon, is the most powerful weapon, greater than the Brahmastra or similar other dangerous, disastrous weapons. In some of the Vedic literatures, it is said that Agni Dev, the fire god, presented this weapon to Lord Sri Krishna. But factually, this weapon is eternally carried by the Lord. Agni Dev presented this weapon to Krishna in the same way that Rukmini was given by Maharaj Rukma to the Lord. The Lord accepts such presentations from his devotees, even though such presentations are eternally his property. There is an elaborate description of this weapon in the Adi Parva of the Mahabharata. Lord Sri Krishna used this weapon to kill Shishupal, the rival of the Lord. He also killed Shalva by this weapon. And sometimes he wanted his friend Arjuna to use it to kill his enemies. So I don't know what those pastimes are. Arjuna, you can borrow my chakra. So in the pastime of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, actually the pregnancy of Diti in the evening in that chapter, when Diti is trying to apologize after the incident, Kasyapa, he's telling her, you know, he's scolding her basically, and he's saying that your sons, they're going to be killed by Lord Vishnu, he doesn't say how they're going to be killed, but when she responds, she says, it is very good that my sons will be magnanimously killed by the arms of the personality of Godhead with his Sudarshan weapon. So she's just assuming that being killed by Lord Vishnu means being killed by Sudarshan. Then she says, oh, my husband, may they never be killed by the wrath of the Brahmin devotees. So Prabhupada says, I think in the purport he describes how being killed or cursed by Brahmins sometimes be a very horrible situation one can be put into, but if you're killed by the disc weapon of the Lord, then you get liberation. Now, in the battle of Hiranyaksha and Lord Varaha, Varaha also somehow holds the chakra in his hoofs, and he uses that to fight when the Hiranyaksha threw his trident, for example. Then Hiranyaksha tore it to pieces with his Sudarshan chakra. And also when Hiranyaksha created an illusion, as the demons do sometimes, he created some kind of an illusion that was also dispersed, destroyed by the light, the effulgence of the Sudarshan, made everything clear. And there it's said that it contains 1,000 spokes and has a dazzling luster. In the pastime of, I'm just kind of going through different cantos, as different things are mentioned. So that's Raha and Ditti, that's in the third canto. In the fourth canto, we get Prithu Maharaj. Now, at Prithu Maharaj's coronation, we hear all different personalities of the universe give him different presentations. And they all seem to be fitting for who they are. For example, Vayu, who's the Lord of the Air, gives Prithu Maharaj a chamra. So that seems the right thing to give him. Chamra creates air, wind. So Lord Vishnu presented him with Sudarshan Chakra. But Prabhupada explains in the purport that because Prithu Maharaj is a Shaktiyavish avatar, a partial incarnation of the Lord, then this Sudarshan was also a partial incarnation of Sudarshan. So he also has his partial incarnations. In the fifth canto, in the description of the Bilaswarga, the Bilaswargas are, Swarga means heavenly planets. There are three kinds of heavenly planets. There's Divya Swarga, where Indra lives. There's Bhauma Swarga. That means in Jambudweep, you know, there are nine islands of Jambudweep. One of those islands is Bharatvarsha, where we are. But the other are islands, Harivarsha and different Varshas, where the residents of Jambudweep offer prayers, that chapter in the fifth canto. So that's actually called Bhauma Swarga. When you return from the heavenly planets, you go to these Bhauma Swargas and live there for 10,000 years. So below the earth is Bilaswarga. I was thinking it's interesting because some people think that the earth is hollow. You can actually go into the earth and maybe there are things going on in there. Because there's no experimental proof that inside the earth is molten, you know, like a fire burning metal or something. Because they've never been able to drill down that far to actually see. It's just theory according to how the planet works. So some people think the earth is actually hollow. Of course, some people think all kinds of things, but some people do have that theory. And apparently they have some scientific, you know, basis to coming up with that. So in any case, Bilaswarga, it's down the hole through the earth or under the earth. Generally said to be under Bhumandala. So there it's described. Those are all, of course, they're demons, but they live in heavenly pleasure, actually greater than the demigods, it said. Because they're demons, they really know how to enjoy the material energy. So it says they live very auspiciously, for some reason it says auspiciously, and do not fear death from anything but death's established time, which is the effulgence of the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Sudarshan disc enters those provinces, the pregnant wives of the demons all have miscarriages due to fear of its effulgence. So that's his appearance in the fifth canto. In the sixth canto, we have the Narayana Kavacha. There's a whole background, that story, where the demigods wanted to get protected by the Narayana shield. So there's this whole chapter, which is the prayers of the Narayana Kavacha. So one of those prayers is, set into motion by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and wandering in all the four directions, the disc of the Supreme Lord has sharp edges as destructive as the fire of devastation at the end of the millennium. As a blazing fire burns dried grass to ashes, with the assistance of the breeze, may that Sudarshan Chakra burn our enemies to ashes. That's the whole theme of that Narayana Kavacha, trying to get all this protection and kill our enemies. So there's, of course, the Devasa pastime. That comes where? Ninth canto. And here's Sudarshan plays quite a significant role in that pastime. First, he destroys the demon created by Durvasa. Then, of course, he chases Durvasa Muni all over the universe. And when they both return to the presence of Ambarish Maharaj, then Ambarish Maharaj offers prayers to Sudarshan. So these are three verses by Ambarish Maharaj in glorification of Sudarshan. He says, O Sudarshan Chakra, you are fire. You are the most powerful sun. You are the moon, the master of all luminaries. You are water, earth, and sky. You are the air. You are the five sense objects. And you are the senses also. O Sudarshan Wheel, you are religion. You are truth. You are encouraging statements. You are sacrifice, and you are the enjoyer of the fruits of sacrifice. You are the maintainer of the entire universe, and you are the supreme transcendental prowess in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the original vision of the Lord, And therefore, you are known as Sudarshana. Everything has been created by your activities, and therefore, you are all pervading. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, the word Sudarshana means auspicious vision. Another prayer. O Sudarshan, you are a very auspicious hub, and therefore you are the upholder of all religion. You are just like an inauspicious comet for the irreligious demons. Indeed, you are the maintainer of the three worlds, and you are full of transcendental effulgence. You are as quick as the mind, and you are able to work wonders. I can simply utter the word Namaha, offering obeisances unto you. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, without illumination, nothing can be seen, especially in this material world. The illumination in this world emanates from the effulgence of Sudarshan, the original vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's like Krishna's vision personified. The illuminating principles of the sun, the moon, and fire emanate from Sudarshana. Similarly, illumination by knowledge also comes from Sudarshan, because with the illumination of Sudarshan, one can distinguish one thing from another, superior from inferior. So the ability to see clearly, distinguish matter from spirit, and so on, that also comes from Sudarshan. So his light is not only what we might think of as material light that lights things up, but also the light of transcendental knowledge. So then there's the 10th canto, which I won't go through. He makes several appearances to kill different demons. And in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna, in what it says, or Uddhava is glorifying Lord Krishna. I don't have the verse here, but in the purport it says, Uddhava is begging the Lord for the mercy of his Sudarshan Chakra, whose effulgence is represented by the process of remembering and chanting the pastimes of the Lord. And here's one final little interesting fact from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, one purport. It says, after Sati, the wife of Shiva, gave up her body at Daksha's sacrifice, Shiva started dancing with her body. The world became threatened from his dance, so Vishnu used his Sudarshan Chakra to cut Sati's body into pieces. Wherever her bodily parts fell, a temple was erected in commemoration. These pilgrimage sites are called Shakti Peets. So if you ever see a Shakti Peet, that's the origin of it. Lord Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra cut up Sati's body. It's in a purport in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Give it comfortable.
One time Ashwatthama was looking for weapons and he went to Dwarka. And Krishna was walking on the shore and he said, can I have your Sudarshan Chakra? I would give you my Brahmastra weapon. Krishna says, okay, you can have it. So Krishna showed it Sudarshan at him. He grabbed it with one hand, he couldn't hold it with one hand, then he grabbed it with two hands, and he was trying to move it, and he couldn't budge it. Mm-hmm. So he was ashamed, and then Krishna took it back. So Krishna says, Ashwatthama, not Balaram, not Arjuna, no one has ever asked for this weapon. But you have. Why have you done so? He says, I would have offered my obeisances to you and challenged you to battle. Then Lord Krishna told, So Lord Krishna was talking to Arjuna, I think, and he says, look how cruel is this Ashwatthama. You see, he wants a weapon and then he wants to kill me. Mm-hmm.
Jatari, here, Jatari.
At the beginning of the class, I don't remember exactly what you said, but you were saying how if the devotee is threatened, that the chakra is there to protect and burn him up.
Like that's that. What Lord Chaitanya said.
Yeah. Okay, that was that pastime. So yeah. When you said that, I was thinking, well, you know, there's instances where devotees have been out preaching and have been killed. You know, so I was just thinking, whoa, okay, well, what's that?
Yeah, of course, that's always a question. I was just reading, actually, I was preparing a Srila Prabhupada Speaks Out, where he said, Jesus Christ was not killed. They think he was killed, but he was not killed. He's a pure devotee. He, Krishna would protect him, something like that. So, usually our explanation, well, maybe we're not pure devotees, so we can't expect Krishna necessarily to protect us. And the other thing is, Krishna can do whatever he wants. And, he can protect his devotees in different ways. Destroying the body may be a kind of protection. Devotees going back to Godhead, so some insignificant body, what does it have to do with the devotee? Devotee has nothing to do with the body. I was giving class on Prahlad recently. I was explaining how Prahlad was, he was just out of it, basically. His body was just taken care of by the Lord. He wasn't even conscious of his body. So, and his friends, people said to him, how are you able to tolerate all this horrible suffering? He said, what suffering? It's like he wasn't even aware that anything was happening to him. So the devotee is sometimes so aloof from the body, if the body is destroyed, it's insignificant. It doesn't really mean anything. Ramadhar Maharaj?
Yeah, on that Prahlad point, I remember reading somewhere that he thought his, although I'm not going to contradict what you just said, but at the same time, he thought his father was just playing with him. He was kind of like, it's a game.
I mean, you kind of cross, even in that section where I was reading that, I'm forgetting whether it was in Vrid Bhagavatamrita or in the Bhagavatam itself, we hear how Prahlad was like that. So you get the sense that he was not in touch with this world, but then just a couple of verses later, you hear him doing things that seem like he was in this world and active and interacting in this world. So you kind of get both pictures. But sometimes it's hard to understand exactly.
I have one question. I'm sorry. I have one question about Sudakshina. Was there a name of the demon that he?
Sudakshina. Yeah.
Sudakshina.
That's the king.
That was the priest or something, or the king.
The demon's name, I don't think, is mentioned.
But the real question I have is, it seems either like more detail or an apparent contradiction, where you have the idea of Prabhupada would teach this basic understanding that we shouldn't be skeptical that you can. Like, there's no such thing as sterilization. In other words, if you have a fiery body, you can live very happily in fire, just like a fish is happy in water, although we can't live like that. So it depends on what kind of body you have. So then you have this demon who has a fiery body, but even though his body is fire, but I guess there's a limit to everything.
Yeah.
Because then you get the Sudarshan chakra, and that was too hot to handle.
Yeah, I think that's the point.
Even for the fire.
He's Krishna's vision. And the Brahmastra also is a heat weapon, but not strong enough for Sudarshan. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I was going to stop on time, almost on time, but we'll take one of the teas.
I just had the question whether Sudarshan is in the Goloka.
Whether he's in Goloka Vrindavan?
Yeah. Does he have any role there, or is he there?
I suspect that maybe he has some other form in Goloka Vrindavan, because basically all the associates, like Vishnu's associates, they have an original form in the spiritual. We read about this in one Vrid Bhagavatamrita purport. So maybe Sudarshan is one of his cowherd boyfriends or something, I don't know. But that kind of thing does happen. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.